Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. Coming at you from Cornerstone Church in Highland, Michigan. Friday. Sorry, folks.
It's Friday, ladies and gentlemen.
I got my Friday song going.
Got the Friday song going. Feeling great.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost the best Friday of the year. Next week.
Wow. You're right.
I know. I just blew your mind a little bit, didn't I?
Friday wasn't the best day of the week besides Sunday.
Right.
We're 1 week away from something called Good Friday.
Literally called Good Friday.
How?
It's even better than regular Friday.
I totally agree. I got to come up with a different song for Good Friday.
Yeah, Good Friday's next week.
It's a good, good Friday. It's my father's Friday.
I love it. All classic throwback.
Uh-huh.
Little audio adrenaline throwback for everybody there.
We used to take, our church takes mission trips all the time.
Yeah.
Back in the day when I was in youth ministry, you know, little teenage Lucas running around on the mission field, that CD, yeah. Now I'm really dating myself, a CD, it was on repeat all week long. Audio adrenaline, just couldn't get enough of it. Man, I want to be your hands. I want to be your feet.
Oh, yeah. Come on, I know that song.
Go where you send me. And we would play that at the different, because we would walk around depending on what country we were in, we'd go to different street corners and parks, and we would blast that really loud through the speakers and attract a crowd, and it was awesome.
Sounds awesome.
It was awesome. And it's Friday.
It's Friday. We're just kind of vibing here today, guys, because it's Friday. We're feeling great.
Pastor Tim's wrapping up his message called, Is Cornerstone the Philadelphia Church?
That's right.
I think we are.
I think so too. And this has been an awesome. I love this whole series that we've done over the past few weeks, Pastor Luke, on the churches in Revelation. It's been really insightful, like super, super good. And this, I thought this was a great way to wrap up this whole series, and it's going to be a great way to wrap up today. And I really want to challenge everybody too, because we can think kind of on a macro level of churches. Is the church today a Philadelphia church? And sometimes we can get a little discouraged, or maybe we can look at our personal church and think, man, I really want to be this church in Philadelphia. But I also want to challenge you to kind of, as we're wrapping up today, look at your own life.
Mm-hmm.
Does your personal life reflect the way that Jesus talks about the church in Philadelphia? Do you walk through those open doors? Do you take opportunities to advance the kingdom of God, to share your faith in Jesus? And I just wanted to kind of put that into everybody's mind as we wrap this up today.
Let's go to the message.
And on Resurrection Sunday, we're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And how, because he was raised, we also shall be raised. And how that's essential that he be raised from the dead, bodily from the dead by the power of God. Yeah, I've been saved 35 years. I've heard that. Well, we need to keep hearing that. That's enduring sound doctrine, right? We remember it every Sunday, the first Sunday of the month, when we partake of communion, remembering his death until he comes. He's alive. He's coming back. God always takes us back to that to keep us rooted in truth so that we might grow up in him healthy. Healthy. You have kept my word. And then he talks about these Jews. Verse 9, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. And so what I believe this is that the city of Philadelphia had enough Jewish men to form a synagogue. Now, when I studied in Bible college, there needed to be 10 adult male Jews to establish a synagogue. So there's at least 10. Synagogue is where they were taught the word of God. It wasn't the temple in Jerusalem where the feasts were kept and the sacrifices were made, but a synagogue was the place where the Jews gathered for the teaching of the word of the Lord, right? So there was a synagogue, And it was there in the Church of Philadelphia, and there were Jews there, and they were not true Jews. In other words, they weren't Messianic Jews, and those are the true Jews. They were Jews by birth, but not Jews now by faith in Jesus. You guys following that? And he says, I'm going to cause them, and he calls it the synagogue of Satan, because it wasn't, God established his church on the day of Pentecost. The church is the household of God, or the household of faith. Synagogues were Jews gathered that did not believe that Jesus, I know this is exclusive, but I'm going to say it anyway. Synagogues were Jews gathered, they do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Messiah. That is not the household of God. In the age in which we are, this is the age of grace. I will build my church. This is God's work. This is what he's doing. We, people of faith in Jesus, constitute the household of God. Therefore, the Jews that were Jews by birth, but they were not embracing the Messiah, Jesus calls them the synagogue of Satan. That makes sense? The synagogue, because they weren't of God. Because if they were truly of God, they would believe upon God's Son that he sent, Jesus Christ. Yes. You can read about this in Romans chapter 9. True Jews are the ones that are inwardly believing upon Jesus Christ. You are, as believers in Jesus, grafted in and are considered true Jews now, the people of God. You are now the people of God. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Says, I'm going to make them come, and in other words, I'm going to save them. And they're going to come, and they're going to worship right there at your church. They're going to be right there at your feet. They're going to be worshiping God with you. It's a promise that God is going to save these Jews that were yet unbelieving, but he's going to do such a work that he's going to save them, and they're going to be brought into the household of faith, the household of God. Awesome. The idea here is that God can save even the most unlikely, even the most unlikely. And I'm sure these Gentile believers were thinking, there's no way those religious Jews are ever going to believe on Jesus the Messiah. And Jesus is revealing himself to this church of Philadelphia. He says, I'm going to take them and I'm going to bring them, and they're going to be worshiping God right there with you. What a wonderful promise that is. Wonderful promise that is. The counsel of Jesus Christ in verse 11 and 12. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I love that. When you really get saved, God wants to make you a pillar in the household of God, to where you're rooted and grounded, and you're not constantly going out. Right? I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. In other words, to him who overcomes, you are going to be mine. I'm going to write on him my name and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem. And I'm going to put on him the new name that I give him. In other words, I'm going to mark him and brand him. He belongs to me. Well, I've been marked. I've been branded. I belong to God. I belong to God. Right? Etched in stone with a graphite pen. It's just, I'm branded. I have his name. I am a Christian, a Christ follower, amen? And I'm boasting in the Lord, and you need to boast in God too if you belong to Jesus. He paid a price for you. You were bought with a price. You're his slave, his servant, and he has stamped his name on you. You are now God's people, God's son, God's daughter. You belong to God. Hallelujah. I like that. He tells them, hold fast what you have, that no one take your crown. They say this crown is like the victor's crown. And God has called us to be victorious. And don't get defeated. Let no one come and take that victor's crown off of your head, because you're always defeated. God's called you to a life of overcoming faith, a life of victory. Wear that victor's crown and hold fast what you have. Well, what do I have? I have Jesus. I have His Spirit. I have that new name written down in glory. I have His Word. I have His promises. I have Him. I'm going to hold fast what I have. Hold fast. Just grab a hold of it. That's what we do. He does the work, and we hold it fast. We cleave to Him because He is cleaving to us. That's a response of our heart, right? It's a response of our heart. He has saved me. I'm in His hand. He holds me fast. What is the response of my heart? Well, I am not trying to get away from Him at every opportunity. No, He has a hold of me, and because I love Him so much, I hold fast to Him. Holding fast to Him. Let no one take your crown. You've been marked, stamped, branded by God. Let's bow our heads in the presence of the Lord.
Obviously, Pastor Aaron, you worked on a farm, and you kind of understand the idea of branding.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. I sure do.
And why does the farmer brand the animals?
So they don't get mixed up with the next farmer.
Okay.
So they can differentiate between the two herds.
Yeah. You know, everything originated from the Lord. It was all everything that's ever existed.
Yeah.
It was all His idea.
Yeah.
And the universe marches according to those orders.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And the studies of theology say that Satan, created by God, mimics what God does, but perverts it and makes it dysfunctional.
Yeah.
But uses that perversion and dysfunctionality to benefit him and his kingdom.
Yeah.
So God, the Bible says that We're like branded by God.
Mm.
What do you think is the opposite of God's branding for us that the devil would like? I would definitely say the devil puts his mark on the people.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And I think that I heard someone talking about this recently, and I thought this was a really interesting take on on how the devil operates sometimes in our world and our culture. And it was a pastor who had just traveled back from Africa. And he said, you know, I feel like when I was in Africa, I could see people who were worshiping the devil or had so much demonic influence in their life, and you could physically see it all over them. Mm. And he said, then you come back to America, and he said, you know, I don't see, you see the, you can see the works, but you don't see people so
it's a different kind of worship.
It's a different kind of work. It's a different kind of worship. And he said, you know, when you don't know that the devil exists, he's going to keep himself in the shadows.
Wow. My goodness. It's true. Man, it's been great to be with you this week, church. Great message from Pastor Tim. I want to personally invite you out to church this Sunday. Please do not be a stranger. We got two services, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. And then next week is big for the church, Good Friday and Easter week for all of us.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see you Sunday. If not, we'll be right back here Monday morning.
Walking in His Word.
Thank you for listening to our show today. You can find more information about Cornerstone Church at our website, cornerstonehighland.com. Please subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram, Facebook. I want to personally invite you out to church this Sunday. We got two services, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. And we live stream our 11 a.m. services. You can find the stream on our website, on our Facebook page, or on our YouTube page. It's been great to be with you today, everybody. See you next time.